Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Three Quarter Time Podcast. I'm Janus. I'm joined by Cookie and by T-Dub. Hopefully, you all had a sensational Easter weekend. Enjoyed it with family, with friends. Got some chocolate. Watched some football. There was a lot of blowouts this week, though. Boys, how was your weekend?
Good. It's good. Good Easter. Easter's a good time. It's a good time to be with, as you said, with family and friends. But on other news, we had a festivious event happen over Easter, and it wasn't Easter Sunday. The great man, Cookie, he's aged. He's a year older. Happy birthday from the weekend, great man.
Thank you, lads. The old 2-2.
Yes.
2-2-2-2.
Richie Benno, yes. Tiff 2-2-2.
Oh, yes.
It was a busy, very busy weekend. Easter Saturday was my birthday. Sunday was Greek Easter and normal Easter. And then Monday was my partner's birthday.
Bang.
So I was busy.
Bang.
Hold on. I'm socialed out. Ready to just record.
Oh, yes.
Hang with the lads.
Yes.
Bring them back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crisp. That's what we want.
Now, as we start every podcast, I'm going to take us back to a time.
Here we go. Really getting stuck into it.
Shucks, man. Oh, I thought I muted myself.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Put that on the airwaves, everybody.
I thought I muted myself. I have a mute button on the mic, but I clicked it twice. So,
but,
oh, that was so funny.
It's like BT.
Oh, who was it? Bloody Jason Bennett in the VFL. A couple of years
ago. Did he let one rip the other day? Oh, no.
A couple of years ago. You just hear them commentating and then you just hear in the background. It's so funny. Anyway, I apologize for rudely interrupting.
All good. I'm taking us back to 2016, round 5. Tim, do you remember what this game was, out of curiosity? Give you a clue. One team won by 3 points.
Is it the first game Poppy got Brownlow votes?
Correct.
Oh,
it is.
Yes.
That's a phenomenal ball.
Oh, I'm so proud of myself.
Do you know how many he kicked?
He kicked 5 against the Crows.
He did kick 5 against the Crows. We're going 17-10, 112 to 17-7, 109 at the G.
Jeez, I'm...
Dubious free kick, but Poppy kicked 5 straight.
I'm impressed with that.
And a 23 touches, mind you. That's a game.
I remember them commentating, he's never had a Brownlow vote. He's getting one tonight.
Yeah.
Were they the only Brownlow votes he ever got?
That's a great question. I am going to look that up. But yeah, that's the game. Shout out to Poppy. We love Poppy on this channel.
Poor Poppy.
He is one of the boys.
Talk about a guy that was just fast. I remember going to the footy when I was younger, and I'd never seen a guy move that quick. Like, his legs just move so fast. I'm sure he wasn't actually as quick as some of the other players in the league, but Jeezy's legs move quickly.
He has such small legs.
Good footballer. Good footballer, Poppy. He played
his role to perfection. He had 4 Brownlow votes.
There you go. And 3 of them were in that game, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
That's big.
There you go. Now, lads, what are some of the takeaways from the round just gone?
Key takeaways. Collingwood are a genuine threat.
Yeah, that's a massive win. They demolished Brisbane.
From go to woe.
Yeah. Danger now. The Pies are coming very hard.
Yes.
And the thing is, they've got depth in there as well. Like, you find that the Gurry's out, so all of a sudden Ned Lund's coming in. And he's looking genuine in that midfield. And Dacos getting tagged and stuff, that frees up Ned Long to do what he does. He played really well on what was it, Thursday night?
They got belted the Lions.
Yeah, Collingwood were very good. The way they defend the ground is so good. I mean, they talk about... Sorry, James.
Oh, no, you go. Sorry, Tim.
No, you're right.
You go.
Here we go. Really on fire today.
Bang! No, you go. You go.
I was just going to say, they always used to say, like, defend the minutes. You got to play the minutes to beat us. They defend the meters. The way they defend the ground is something to behold. If anyone ever gets a look at it, like a behind the goals camera view of how Collingwood set up defensively, it's actually phenomenal. The way they squeeze, it's just beautiful. Anyway, sorry, Janus, you go.
No, you're right. That's my fault. I was going to say something just a bit more, we'll say a bit more broad. I was just shocked at the speed they use on the ball. Like they are lightning quick, and just how they can move the ball up the ground so fast.
They certainly are.
Yeah.
The Lions. That is a wake up call, in my opinion. It's a big wake up call.
It certainly is.
Who they got this week, though?
Yeah.
They got the Saints at Marvel. That's a big game.
That is a.
St Kilda need to win that game.
After their performance at Marvel on, what was it, Easter Sunday, they'll be certainly looking to bounce back at their home patch.
Well, they can't dish up another open training session.
No, they can't. But, I mean, the only thing with that is they did have an extenuating factor with that. They were playing against Jesus Christ arising back from the dead in Marcus Bontempelli.
Yeah,
literally the Bont.
Looked like JC. And played like it too.
It's got the same amount of Brownlow medals as me. Isn't that right?
Go on, Tate up.
Isn't that right?
That is right.
Good, though, the Bont.
It's got the same amount of Brownlows as me. I'm sorry. I'm just a Crips lover. Well, I can't help
it. Right. You know what? It's good though. It's good to see the Bont first game, like. I always get scared first game back for players, but obviously he was ready to go. He kicked two, had 30 touches, like he dominated.
It's like Will Day in round zero.
Yes.
We all know that.
How annoying is it? Yeah, I know. How annoying is it, though, that as soon as the Bont comes back, Darcy goes down? It's like, are you serious?
Luckily, he avoided the dreaded ACL.
Yeah.
But it's still a... Probably three month injury.
They reckon start of the finals, maybe the end of the home and away, best case.
All I can say is that did not look good watching that live. And it was also worse because they showed footage of the Darcy family in the rooms. And geez, you just think, oh no, hopefully it's not another one, please. Because Draper went down on Friday. With that Achilles, and then you think about it, Brody Kemp the week before, he went down with another Achilles.
Bang.
Brian.
So, ACL. Brian got punched in the face. It's, you know, he got the lights knocked out of him, so I wonder if they'll send Nash back to Ireland for that act. just kidding. All I can say is there wasn't a lot of remonstration from Geelong players to Nash, so it was a football act. It's just, like, it wasn't off the ball, but he just knocked the crap out of him.
Are you saying you wanted more from the Cats players, Jonas?
No, well...
You wanted to see a bit of fight?
Yeah.
It wasn't that, because I don't think... I saw something Sean Manor said. He was speaking to Triple M after the game, and he was defending Nash, saying there was, like, no malice in the act, because it was in the... I mean, it wasn't like... Barry Hall and Brent Staker, where he just punched him off the ball. I mean, it was a contest, but maybe a little bit of remonstration would have been nice.
He went in stupidly.
Just a poor tackle.
Yeah,
well, it wasn't even a tackle. It was a decking.
He'll get 3 weeks, maybe four.
Well, he's been sent directly.
Yeah, but I think based on the criteria, it's like 3 to 4 weeks. Best case. They might end up giving him 6, which would be stupid because he didn't mean it. But it is what it is,
But Grind going out will mean a very will be a strange impact on the Geelong team because he has played 76 consecutive games for the Cats. Bang. I can't really remember in recent memory a Cats team not having Grind Myers playing. Same with someone like Brad Close, that just feels like they're in every team that gets released, they're always playing.
Yes, it's like Carlton and Mitch McGovern.
So it'll be weird. It'll be weird for him being not seeing 32 running around chipping it around.
Yes, it will be.
They're good for the Blues.
Yeah,
they're good for the Blues.
Speaking of the Blues, T-Up, what are your thoughts? Are they back?
Nah. In short, I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to be getting headlines on this podcast, but they're not back. They've beaten West Coast, who were non-competitive, and they beat North, who were non-competitive. Look, to be fair, they did play well. I'll give them that, but do it against someone who can actually play football for at least 3.5 quarters and not one. Like, I was excited watching the game because I was seeing us kick. You know, we kicked 13-1 in the second half until we kicked the last three behinds of the game. So we'll probably kick We'll probably kick 7 goals, 22 against the Cats this week. But, you know,
yeah. It
is what it is. Look, good job. All you can do is beat who's in front of you. And that's what they did. They belted the living bejeepers out of North Melbourne. Which, Cookie, I want your thoughts. What is wrong with North?
Ooh, what is wrong with North? That is a question which, years go by, I keep thinking that some clubs just are not wired for success. I don't know how it sounds, but this is what I think. Honestly, if you put Geelong's team and you put them in North Melbourne colours, I think it would be similar. I don't know. There's just something wrong. I don't know. They're also very young. Look, let's talk footy. They're young. They'll smash out of the midfield. If they get smashed out of the midfield, their back line will get exposed that quickly. 75% of the forward lines in this comp, like, they are done. Aiden Corr, don't trust him. Griffin Logue, don't trust the bloke. Compton's looking good. When you got those two other weirdos running around and your deep back line, then you're in massive trouble. So, honestly, and I don't know. Like, is Nick Larkey missed that easy snap, didn't he? Like, really early on? To put him in front or something. Like,
I didn't see a lot of the game. I only saw
players like Nick. He did. I'm pretty sure he missed it, and then Carlton kicked like 5 in a row or something, and then the game was basically over. Players like Nick Larkey have to be like leaders, like really good leaders, for them to even have a chance.
Yeah.
So that's where they're at, I think.
The first thing you said, like, if they get beaten out of the middle, I mean, that's their one wood at the moment. And they didn't have a one wood last year or the year before, but they at least have one now. And we saw that against the Dogs and against Melbourne. But basically, if you can beat North, if you've got a good midfield and you can beat North out of the middle, you're in for
that
a good day.
That defense won't stack up. Yeah.
You're in for a good day. But,
You can kick goals on quick. Like, you can kick 4 in like 5 minutes.
That's a great point.
Good teams stop bleeding.
Yeah.
That's a great point because, I mean, I also watched bits and pieces of the game, but it seemed whenever there was somewhat of, we'll say, like a midfield wrestle, when there wasn't goals getting kicked, there was possession based. As soon as Carlton got a goal, man, they got ripped off, and they were hemorrhaging bad. Like Williams, how many did he kick?
4.
4. He genuinely probably kicked 2 and 2. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
But they were hemorrhaging.
Then he did the dirty dancing Titanic celebration. It was beautiful.
I did that.
It was so funny. Koch will just...
Speaking of Sally's, is it? You go, Timmy.
I said Koch will just picked him up and he just stuck the arms out. So funny. Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of Sally's, did anyone see the Wiz get the Ja Morant out?
The grenade. Yep, the grenade. I saw that live and I said, piss off.
Did he?
He threw the grenade to the crowd and put that. They went down by like 2 goals as well.
Oh my word. Wizard, McDonald what are you doing?
Similar... for a better time.
Well, McDonald did a similar celebration when scores a level. I don't really know what that was about. He did something like...
Jesus.
That?
Chuckers chucking grenades into the crowd at this point.
Well, yeah. they smuggled in guns, so a grenade's probably the next best option to bring in.
Just... Oh, God. What are they doing down there at Hawthorn? It's interesting.
I don't know. No, stop the Sallies, honestly. We gotta win some games. And don't let the Sallies against West Coast, for God's sake.
They won't. They're not that stupid.
Like, I swear to God, if I see us pull our Sallies against West Coast and we like, and they're winning by like 20 points, I'm gonna cry.
What if they're winning by like 80?
Nah. Not, you're not pulling out Sallies against West Coast.
You're
up the crowd.
Your premiership favourites, you should beat West Coast by 12 goals. And especially when they've just come off their most competitive performance of the year. Oh, actually, no, they were more competitive against Brisbane. Oh.
Nah, they were good. Oh,
equal.
It was a mix.
Probably Essendon equal.
Equal.
Well, with Brisbane, they petered out. With Essendon, they threw it up.
Back.
They threw it up with the last, 2 minutes. So, yeah, coming off their most competitive game. Where is West Coast playing Hawthorn?
Marvel.
Oh, don't tell me.
The Slaughterhouse.
What a game!
Don't tell me.
Now, well, speaking of Marvel, there was a very good game at Marvel on Easter. Saturday.
Yeah.
Jeez, the Tigers, they preserved the Damien Hardwick curse.
They did it against someone else. They didn't just do it against Carlton. Yes. Jeez, good. They actually played good football against someone else. Oh. I was so happy when Richmond won.
Oh, yeah.
I was so happy.
It was a good watch.
I'm like, oh my goodness, we're not alone. They're not going to have one win against us. They're going to beat the Suns, who, by the way, cannot win the premiership now, because any team that loses to Richmond, North, or West Coast cannot win the flag. So Carlton, Melbourne, Gold Coast, you're done. Dunsky. Next year's your year, but not this year. Oh, it's just beautiful.
But on that game, it was a really good sight because the tone got set really early when Lynch kicked the goal and he let Sam Collins know about it. And all the tempers, the fireworks started exploding. That probably indicated how Richmond were going to go into the game. And it looked to me they absolutely enjoyed the fact that it was a competitive, contest-based, tackling-based game. They looked like, compared to the Suns, Richmond were enjoying it. And especially because they were a young group, I think they're like, well, let's have fun here, boys. And they did.
Suns do have a good midfield. I think it's more that Richmond just flood back and then they slingshot forward. And then good teams defend that. But like, I think it's more because Gold Coast are a very good contested team. I think it's more that Richmond just love getting numbers around the ball in their defensive half and then utilising either a long kick to a 2-on-1 and backing in their small forwards. Because guys like Seth Campbell, they're quick smalls. Lynch is obviously a bloody giraffe. He's not quick.
Morris Rioli's got jets on him.
Yeah, and like Hugo Ralph-Smith. They've got leg speed, and that's what they did to Carlton. They just flooded back, backed in their contest ability in their D50, and then they just went quick and then scored, I reckon, 15 goals from the goal line or whatever it was. Yeah. I know they only kicked 13. I'm adding Mayo, but it's the way they like to play. So to beat Richmond, you've just got to be able to win forward 50 stoppages, or you have a good defensive system that you can. And they were winning some clearances as well, which is what they did against Carlton as well. Now, the real question is, though, Noah Bolter.
Here we go.
What's going on there, Janus? Noah Bolter, what are your thoughts?
Well, the thing is, there's a football element to it, and there's a, we'll say, moral element to it. Now, Bolter pleaded guilty, and today I think the charge came out that he has to do community corrections, and he has a 10 p.m. curfew, and he can't play any night games, and he has to pay about $3,000. But before that, I mean, he pleaded guilty, so he obviously admitted to what he did. It doesn't really send a good look for the club, Richmond, and the AFL, allowing a player who has committed a violent act and has pleaded guilty to it to, you know, represent the jumper, represent the brand of the Richmond Footy Club, and represent the organisation of the AFL. But the sad thing is, I mean, he played really well, and to be honest, Richmond don't win that game without him because he kept King to one goal. And because of that, Richmond are going to feel vindicated in their decision to play him because, well, they won the game because of him.
Yeah.
So I think in a situation like that, where he is pleaded guilty, so he knows what he did. The evidence is also, I mean, damning. They probably got to pick take a moral standpoint because they're still representing they're representing a whole club. Like, do you want a criminal representing your jumper in an ongoing investigation? Obviously, Richmond said, yeah, we do.
Well, he did his time. They messed up the court. They got delayed a week, which is why it all got out of sync. Like, he wouldn't have played, but the court was delayed a week, so they were like, bruh. And everything just got thrown out. It is interesting, but I guess now he won't be playing for the night games for the foreseeable future. He misses Melbourne this week, I believe.
And he's not allowed to go interstate either.
Oh, really?
But the curfew only lasts until July 22nd, I think. So,
yeah, 3 months.
So, but Richmond don't leave the MCG for a month. And they've got a few marquee games on in that. So, yeah.
Bang.
But no, credit to Richmond. And credit to their experienced leaders. Like, Nick Vlosten, geez, he played well. Toby Nankervis, absolutely. I thought he dominated in the ruck. So much so that when he was off for the start of the quarter, the start of the last quarter, Gold Coast kicked three back to back to back, and all of a sudden, game on. They were up by 40-odd points. And then Jacob Hopper and Tim Taranto, they played probably some of the best football I've seen them play. They were efficient. They were dominating in clearance, and they both impacted on the scoreboard. So their leaders stood up and their young kids helped to back them up. So it was a good team win for Richmond.
Well said. Completely agree with that. They did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Vlosten, I mean, let's be honest, in the last 10 years, maybe a bit less, about 10 years, the best two mid-sized defenders are Nick Vlosten and Tom Stewart. Like, and we can go down that path. Like, who are you, if you're drafting a team, which one of those two are you taking first? It's a tough question because they're two, like, guns.
That is a good question.
Like, who are you taking, Nick Vlosten or Tom Stewart?
I mean, Geelong bias aside, I'll probably take Tom Stewart because he has been He can get thrown in the midfield as well.
Yeah. I'm talking as a defender.
Well,
I'm saying if you want to lock down someone, Ryan Boston.
But if you want a rebounder,
go
Stewart. Yeah, I would agree with that.
If you want an interceptor,
Ryan Boston was crazy.
Yeah, he was so. I mean, he was
so good on the weekend.
Still is so good. Like he was so good when they were winning premier. I mean, I know he's a 3-time premiership player, but he basically didn't play in one of the grand finals because he ran into Dangerfield's elbow.
It was barely up his end.
But
yeah.
True.
Like he. I don't know if he's got any All Australians, Nick Vlosten. He doesn't. Whereas Stewart has
someone
5.
Yeah,
in about 150 games too.
Hey.
Oh, Tom Stewart, he's got about 5 odd All Australians and only
170 games, yeah.
Yeah, 170 odd games.
2-time best and fairest winner. And Vlosten has played 239 games. He's played a lot of footy, Nick Vlosten.
One of those blokes that Richmond fans will remember forever.
Yeah, it's chronically underrated, Nick Vlosten. He's a gun.
Yeah.
He's a gun.
The Dower game, Saturday, the 4:40 slot.
The worst game ever.
The Adelaide Crows beat the GWS Giants 52-34.
Jeez, it was a slog.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was.
Jeez, Jake Stringer, how impactful was he? Just kidding.
I watched the first quarter and I was just like, okay. And then I had to go somewhere. But I was thankful that I didn't spend time watching it. I don't know what happened.
Oh, well, the thing is with the game, it was very, like you said, it was dour. It was a slog. I mean, the first half, it was turnover city. Neither teams were efficient with the ball. Like Jordan Dawson, who's arguably one of the best kicks in the competition, he butchered it, for lack of a better word. He wasn't hitting targets. He was shanking it. So it was that was really emblematic of the game itself.
I win for the Crows, though.
Yeah, it was a very good win for the Crows. So it was just
definitely take it.
He who had territory won, really.
Was it wet?
Intermittently.
Yeah, see, I didn't see the game.
It was windy as well.
Windy. That's right. I remember reading that.
There was a gale. There was a gale.
Must have been pretty swirly.
It's swirly.
Lucky we had that weather this weekend and not last weekend for Gather Round.
True. But all I can say is with a game like that, that really shines a light on defenders. That was a defenders showcase of the defenders for both teams.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
What are some of the worst games of AFL you could remember after this game?
Well,
did you think of any just shocking games to watch as a visual?
Pretty much every Carlton game from 2014 to 2019.
I disagree. When the Hawks win by 150 points, it's a great watch.
Yeah. Nah, in all seriousness. Been some dud games.
Oh, it's actually interesting because you just forget them.
I remember Sydney played Fremantle in a qualifying final one year. I think it was 2015. And I remember that game being an absolute dud. Looking it up on my phone now as I speak to stall myself. It was not 10-9 to 7-18. Like it was a close game, but it was a dud game. It was even the whole time. Like Sydney were 2-11 at halftime.
Georg.
I remember watching that. That was such a dour game. That jumps out. I remember Geelong beat North Melbourne and North Melbourne kicked 1-8 like 5 years ago.
Entire game.
Yeah. Oh, then during COVID, half the games were like that. But that's sort of an exception.
True. That was boring.
Like so many of the games were like 4-10 to 8-12. I swear no one kicked straight in COVID. so frustrating. Yeah.
No one to kick to behind the goals.
Yes. But no, yeah. I mean, the Sydney Fremantle game jumps out at me. That's about the only one.
I like it.
Good question. Though. You really put me on the spot. I tell you who.
That is a tough one.
It is a tough question. I've got a few dud games from Carlton games, but they're more just bad games, like us getting smashed. But I remember once we played Fremantle under the roof, and we had a little bit of hope going into the game that we might actually be competitive. And at halftime, it was 0-7 to 12-5.
I remember that. Was that the game where they were walking off and the fans were absolutely giving it to them? Oh, my word.
I remember half the stat. There might have been, I'm guessing here, there might have been 20,000 people or something at the game. And I reckon half of them were gone at halftime. And I remember, I'll never forget, I was sitting there with my dad and we were just looking and you could just see so many Carlton supporters just sitting there, not even like saying a word. They were just sitting there contemplating existence. And it was just like, oh my word. That was boring. Not really, but it was.
Comment if you're at that game.
Hey?
I said leave a comment.
Comment if you're at that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, set us up on the social.
There's a few Carlton games that are real just bottom of the barrel stuff, like losing to the Hawks by 138 points on Friday night footy in 2015. That was, what did we kick? 4-11 or it was 4-11, 35 to 173. Like we were just, oh.
It wasn't a downer game, though. The D's, they're back. Well, not back, but it was a big win.
They are back. The days are back.
Well, it was good seeing the midfield really go to work. They dominated centre clearance, the D's, and shout out to Harrison Petty, who he cops a bit of criticism probably from both D's fans and just AFL fans, but he kicked four straight. He kicked four straight, and his second goal was a really, really good goal in the first quarter, so... Melbourne fans would be happy with that because all of a sudden they outscored themselves in the first half, compared to what they're being. Melbourne's being a team probably at the start of the year that's been trying to win games by kicking seven goals for a game, and they ended up kicking about, I don't know, seven or eight at a half, and all of a sudden you look, oh, this is great. You know, Cozzy Pickett got on the... You know, got let loose. He kicked five. He showed the pill to was it Josh Draper in the goal square? Probably showing off to his. He's probably showing off to his future employer, and when he goes over to Perth, he wants to say, "Look, guys, look what I can do. I can do this." Max Gorn played well. I was actually quite impressed with Jake Bowie. I found he was quite important, especially with the. Getting their link-up play from the half-back line. That was a really good... The goal that Cozzy Pickett showed the pill to Josh Draper came from Bowie's work on the half-back line. So there seemed to be a bit more team connection with the Ds that has felt lacking this season.
I don't get the hype.
Cousin show off?
I don't get it, man. So I just don't get it. I don't get the hype around Cozzy either. Like... Jeff Garlett, right?
Now, some
of you will have no idea about who Jeff Garlett is, but he used to play for Carlton. He does. Played 107 games for Carlton, kicked 183 goals. Decent career. Led the goal kicking once. He was traded to Melbourne for a third round pick or something, of which I think it got passed. Like, the Blues didn't even use it. Cozzy Pickett has played 109 games. He has kicked 168 goals. And it's rumoured that Melbourne want 2 to 3 first-round picks. So, do the math. Is he really that good?
All I can remember is he did nothing in that grand final.
Had four touches.
He did not touch the ball in that grand final.
Cost
he was
Cookie
gifted
a
medal.
Multi.
Yeah,
we had a mate. We had a mate.
Massive multi.
And Cozzy was the only one that didn't come through.
Oh, jeez. God.
But no, like,
so, yes.
Is he really as good as he is advertised to be? Is he really that good?
Speaking of, are they really that good? Frio, are they really that good?
They're cooked. They're done.
If they're fair dinkum, they have to win at Melbourne, and they have to win at the MCG, and they have to flog Melbourne.
Put a line through them now. They're cooked.
Yeah, they looked incredibly ordinary.
Sean Darcy
got waxed. Yeah.
Tracy in the last 5 minutes of the game, it was abysmal. Gorn just marked everything.
Gorn dominated. Big contested marks. Yeah.
I know it's Max Gorn, but still.
I mean, when it comes to red time for Melbourne, I mean, Max Gorn, he does lift. But just on that, I mean, Josh Tracy also was held to a goal and 5 disposals. So it looks like if you can shut down Tracy, all of a sudden Frio don't look as damaging.
Tell you, was damaging. Cats, the thriller on the MCG on Easter Monday. Now we'll go with the losers before we go with the victors. Cookie, your Hawks, give us a brief summation of the events that took place yesterday afternoon.
Now, full disclaimer, I didn't watch most of this game because I was busy. But from all accounts, there were a couple of things that were shocking. Hawthorn's turnovers from back half was abysmal. Now, this is interesting because last year, they did not give a toss what they did with the pill. I swear to God, they took on kicks that people wouldn't even think they were taking on. Now, this year, they're kind of doing the same thing. But it's just not quite working, I would say. It's not quite clicking as it did last year. So it's interesting. Like, if you're Sam Mitchell, do you tell them, keep going, lads, I'll back you in? Or does he say, think? Like Josh Weddle with like a minute to go, whatever, when Sean Manick hit that goal. Like, you know, is that the right decision? Probably. He didn't execute. And that's the bad part. But if you're Sam Mitchell, do you keep saying to the boys, we know who we are. Just have a crack. Just trust your gut and it will work out. I think you got to keep saying it to them because I think when the team starts thinking, not the most intelligent group of blokes, put it that way.
You think they play on instinct?
They are purely instinctual. Except Tom Barras. He is a philosopher.
Aristotle, I think they call him at the club.
Exactly.
Not, we'll bring it up.
What do you reckon, Tito?
I reckon Barras's heart rate wouldn't get above 40 in a game. I reckon he's that relaxed. I'll tell you who else is relaxed. Janus, the Cats had a great win. What are your thoughts on the Cats win?
Well, I was there, so it was a privilege to be a part of it. That's the largest Geelong home and away crowd ever, I think. 88,000-odd.
Bang.
Dangerfield, jeez. He's loving his time up forward. He could... He kicked 3, and he still looks so hard to play on, genuinely. He's still so explosive. I mean, he's a big bloke. It's hard to tackle him. You can't get your arms around him. And he kicked 3, and he seems to be able to kick them when we need him to. But just on that, I mean, you touched on it, Cookie, with, yes, the Hawks back half. Turnovers were incredibly costly, but that's the forward pressure that Geelong brought just meant that those turnovers, that's where Stengel, Close, Manor, that's where they lurk in those sort of danger kicks, and they love it, and they pounced on it. So, it was just our forward pressure was up all game. It was a good midfield battle as well, actually. I thought Meek and Newcomb really got on top of us in the third quarter, but it was quite even, quite seesawing. Both teams had their say. in regards to dominance. But yeah, it was a rippy game to be a part of.
Peter, who plays on Dangerfield this week from the Blues? Who would you put on him?
McGovern.
Yeah, it's because you want him to kick McGovern? Eight. what's they got? Neil, Cameron. Waitering probably gets Neil. Just. Yeah, he probably does. And then
McGovern gets
Silvani
Cameron.
Gets Cameron.
Yeah, okay.
And then Haynes probably gets Dangerfield. And then McGovern probably gets... Well, McGovern and Haynes probably get Dangerfield. They probably play like a zone and they rotate off each other. Mm. But yeah.
He's 35, the old Danger. He's just ticking along.
And he played like he was 25.
But I was going to say...
Really one hammy away.
Here's... a real question. How many birds will Bailey Smith use against the Blues on Sunday? How many birds will he flip off? So he whipped out two against Adelaide. He whipped out one against Hawthorn. How many is he going to throw up against
Carlton? He's getting cocky.
He's just
confident. He's going too early, the old Baz, I reckon.
Well, it's funny you say that because, I mean, at the game, I mean, it was funny because I had that, he had that altercation, air quotes, with Impey. And then all the Hawks fans started booing him, but I felt like he just fed off that. He strikes me as someone who really doesn't give a toss what people think.
Yeah, because he's playing well.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But, it sounded like, well, it felt like the boos were only sort of encouraged. He was a bit like Novak Djokovic in that sense. You know, when I'm not comparing him, but I'm just saying when the negative...
I don't mind that.
When the negative crowd reactions sort of invigorate them a little bit. But I imagine the club internally probably won't be super happy with it.
They're probably dumb to be himself, though.
Anyway. Well, Chris Scott did say that they're going to embrace his swagger, but it might be a matter of telling him to rein it in a little bit.
Now, what are some best behinds in AFL history? We had Jezza with a phenomenal Sui.
The Ronaldo behind them.
Imagine if that went in.
The back. Jeez.
My word.
Jeez, that would have been mental.
I deserved a goal. What are some other just great behinds?
Well, let me take you back, everyone. Let me take you back to 2010.
Here we go.
North Melbourne. They played St Kilda round 3. Now, North... they had come off an 100-point belting by the Saints. And Brent Harvey was tagged out of the game by Clint Jones.
Oh, that's a name.
So, yes. So when West Coast came to Marvel Stadium, well, Etihad Stadium, I think it was back then, or...
Etihad.
Was it the Telstra Dome?
No, it was Etihad.
North were looking to bounce back. Well, they... Brent Harvey, he receives the ball from the half back and he runs on the wing. And he takes one bounce. Takes another bounce. He sees he's got Matt Prittis on him. He says, don't worry.
Oh.
I'll take him. He takes a third bounce. Takes a fourth bounce. Takes a fifth bounce. Guess what? Takes a sixth bounce. Sells the candy to Darren Glass, the captain.
Oh.
Sells him literally into the next state. Sells him back to Perth. Takes another bounce. Unloads from about 40, 45.
Seven bounces.
Hits the right post.
Ah. Oh.
I remember that.
That was nuts.
And so they call that point, the point of the century. But that's not the only thing that Brent Harvey did that day. He had 44 touches, and North Melbourne ended up winning 17-14, 116 to 13-13, 91.
Dang.
That's a blast from the past.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if you're taking seven bounces, you got to be feeling it.
Oh, like, yes.
It's got to be your day.
Sounds
like it was.
Speaking of bounces, Adam Saad is third all time on the bounce list behind Heath Shaw and Brent Harvey.
Really?
Yes. Old Woofer. Wow.
Heath Shaw. Jesus, he loved bouncing, didn't he?
Yeah, because he used to take kickouts.
He's got the weirdest running style, Heath Shaw.
Runs like a duck.
I was about to say he waddles along.
And then he waddled away. Waddle. I tell you who's waddled away. That bloke that threw the fan at Aaliyah. What a goose.
Oh, yes. Jeez.
What an absolute idiot.
He is.
Like, seriously. You go to the footy, you pay your money, you can yell and scream what you want, within reason, obviously. But why the hell would you be that thick to throw something at a player? Well, that's just so dumb. Like, moronic. Stupid. Like, it was 2-year ban enough? I mean, I've heard people say it's only a fan.
16-year-old.
It's only like a paper fan. But who cares?
But still, the intention's there, though.
Yeah, like, wouldn't matter
know.
If
just,
it was
just
anyway.
Stay in your seat, basically. Stay in your seat.
Just call it, as Aaliyah said, call him a bad footballer. Call him what you like. Comment on his footballing ability, fair enough. But don't throw stuff.
Mm.
Anyway, it wasn't the worst thing that happened on the weekend with a massive, massive win in Europe. We'll jump on a plane. Janus.
Oh, yes.
Take us around the world.
Well.
In the world game.
Well, I'm not going to be talking about West Ham because we were diabolical. Drawing 1-1 to Southampton. That's what I wanted to talk about.
That's beautiful.
Two teams in the championship, they have secured Premier League promotion. So, we'll start off with Burnley. Burnley, they had a 2-1 win against Sheffield, and they have been promoted with 31 league games unbeaten, and they have only conceded 15 goals in 44 games.
That is phenomenal.
Yep. Yeah. So they've got one of the best defensive records in league history. And yep, so they got relegated last year, so they spring back up. And then Leeds, they smashed Stoke 6-0 at Elland Road. Their Dutch forward Joel Pirro, he scored 4 goals in 20 minutes.
That's Lewandowski.
That's a fair bang.
Yep. And so both teams, they end up on 94 points now, and they can't be catched. And Leeds were in the Premier League in the 2022-23 season. They went down. They lost in a playoff final to Southampton last year.
Oh, that's, I remember that.
And now they spring back up. They spring back up with one of the best, we'll say, offensive records, because they have been drubbing teams in the championship. They won 6-0 against Stoke. They beat some teams 7-0, 4-0. They've been winning big, while Burnley have been very miserly. So it's a real opposite end of the spectrum. So
yes.
Good for them to go up. Now, I think it's Sheffield, Sunderland, Coventry, and Bristol that will go into the playoffs.
Bang.
To fight for that third spot. And it would be great if Sunderland could get back up, because they have been languishing for literally years. But yep, so two Premier League promotions have been decided already.
Huge. Speaking of playoffs,
I like that, China.
Kawhi had a beast mode game today against the Nuggets, and the Pistons had their first playoff win since 2008. It's beautiful.
Dang. Indeed they did. The NBA playoffs are here.
They are. They certainly are. Magic in 5. But yes.
Imagine.
The Magic beat the Celtics in 5. Oh, my word. I'm very excited. Speaking of very excited, it's time for the unsung heroes. Cookie, kick us off.
Yes.
I'm taking us back to Friday night. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of this bloke, because he can go hiding at the best of times. But when he kicks 6, we'll give him his flowers. Essendon do not win that game without 2-meter Peter, believe it or not. He was the only bloke doing anything down there for majority of the game. I'm going to give my own son. No, you laugh, Jonas, but he
no, I'm not dropped. Laughing at it. I'm not laughing at it.
Yeah, I think we got to shout out to Medipeta. Like, bloke definitely gets rinsed by the public and his own team. And when his team needed him, mate, that bloke, when he's flushing him, kicks him like 70 metres, like a dart. Like, he just bangs him through. It is great to see. And he was on McGovern as well. So it is West Coast, but McGovern was playing in for most of the game. So shout out to Medipeta.
Yeah. Good call. And he's definitely 2 meters tall. I was at a cafe one time. And he walked past walking his dog. Jeez, he was hitting his head on all the awnings. He is a tall bugger. So it's not exaggeration.
Janice, who have you got?
All right, I'm actually going to go to the dourest game of football we've ever seen. I'm going to the Adelaide Giants game.
Oh, bang.
Yep.
I'm going with Alex Neil-Bullen.
Oh, bang.
Ooh.
To me, he's just a workhorse, and there's a reason Adelaide got him in. He's a workhorse, he's experienced, he's got leadership qualities, and he's dedicated and he's committed. I feel like every contest that Adelaide had, he was in and around it, and he always presented as an option. He injects a bit of calmness, I think, into the contest. And in a game which was so turnover-based and just so scrappy, he had 85% disposal efficiency. So he was using the ball well in a game where you needed your best players to stand up and use the ball well.
I like it, Jonas.
It's a good call.
Take up, round us off.
I've come on with a bloke who played in a losing team. Played on Easter Monday. I've gone with a Hawk. I've gone with Lloyd Meek.
Oh, yes.
Oh, bang!
He had 47 hitouts, 7 clearances, and 9 disposals. That's a big game. That's a big game. Like
him and Newcomb especially lifted in that third quarter.
I have a soft spot for the Ruckman, but he led all comer clearances, I think. And 47 hitouts is 47 hitouts. So, shout out to Big Meeky on Meek Monday.
I think it's bang. His birthday today, actually. Shout out, Meeky.
Oh, bang. Big Lloyd.
There we go. The birthday unsung.
There you go.
Come on the pod, Meeky.
Bang.
Come on, Big Man.
What are the votes?
Ex-Grammarian.
Big man who kicks 6, workhorse in tough conditions, or a big ruckman?
You know what? Pega 3.
Fair enough.
Bang!
6 is 6.
Pega 3, and then Meek did dominate. Meek 2, Neil-Bullen 1.
Yeah, 6 is 6. In modern footy, 6 is a bag. And yeah, the other two, you could toss a coin. So I'm happy with that.
Cool.
Like a couple of big men this week. A couple of big, big boys. A
couple of big dudes. Speaking of big dudes, we've got some big predictions. I'll kick us off. I reckon the Giants are playing in Canberra this week against the Dogs. I reckon we're in for an old-fashioned touch-up. The Tsunami will not like their last couple of weeks, and they will belt the Dogs by 7 goals plus. Janus?
I like it. That's actually a good call.
I am going to the Anzac Day game. Ooh. And I reckon we're going to have a classic 1-point game.
Oh, jeez.
And Darcy Cameron will win the Anzac Day medal. Pies win by a point.
Bang.
Nice,
Darcy Cameron will have 30-plus hitouts.
I like that prediction. I mean, Essendon out of a ruckman, but yes, I like it.
Good call, actually. Yeah, who does ruck? Oh, Todd, Big Toddy's coming back.
Big Todd Goldstein.
Isn't he retired?
And it's fitting he comes back for the Anzac Day game because he was involved in the first landing on Gallipoli.
Isn't he retired?
Sure, as soon as the West Coast game finished, he was doing laps at the ground. Pretty sure he was doing run-throughs after the West Coast game.
Oh, bang. So, he's still playing. Yeah. Oh, my word, he is.
He's going to be playing, Tito.
He fought in 1914, so it's very fitting.
That is just disrespectful. But bang. Cookie, finish us off. What's your prediction?
I'm going Friday night. Oh, sorry, it's Thursday night. Believe me. Thursday night at the G. I'm going the Tigs to beat Melbourne by 4 goals. They're paying $3.50, which...
Oh, that's money. That's
cash.
They've
won more games than Melbourne.
Bang.
You know, mate, there should be underdogs, but $3.50?
Thing on Anzac.
No, Noel Bolter, he's on bedtime.
We haven't This is the worst both Richmond and Melbourne have been since the Anzac Eve game has come in. Since like 2015 or 14 it started, and Melbourne was slowly on the rise with Paul Roos, I think. And Richmond were like playing finals and then started winning premierships, and then Melbourne obviously became really good. But I reckon this is the worst the two teams have been for a long time.
Hopefully that makes for a good game then.
Hopefully it makes it a close game.
I reckon the Tigs will get up.
We'll see.
Listen, they've got a pretty good month ahead of them. There are a few games in there they can win.
Tigs.
Yeah, because they don't leave the MCG.
Speaking of winning. Thank you all so very much for listening. It's a privilege doing what we do. We love talking about footy and we love bringing you all our different opinions, whether they be accurate, data-based, or just purely from the gut. Thank you all so very much for listening. Have a great week, a great weekend, and lest we forget.